This is a quick whistle-stop tour of how you might want to improve the quality of your podcasts. Over the course of this short-ish recording, we'll cover some technical points about what to do, what not to do, and some things we can do to improve the quality of the recording, as well as how to make your podcast sound more exciting by using sound effects and background pads. Remember, this is a broad set of tips, so not all of it will apply to everything you do. If you're in doubt, make a backup and try things out to see what works for you. But don't be afraid to go back if you think it isn't working. The first thing you've probably noticed is how I'm talking. It might sound a little bit unnatural compared to how I talk normally, and that's partly because I'm talking from a script, but I'm also compensating for the information that you can't get from my body language because of the podcast format. Everything from your hand movements to reading lips and even your eyes help people to understand what you're saying, and without that, we need to slow down how quickly we talk and work a lot harder on our speech and clarity. Of course, when you're talking like this, your mouth can get tired and your enunciation can slip quite easily, so make sure to keep the muscles in your mouth active and lick your lips to hit your consonants properly, and record in short bursts to give yourself time to plan the next section. If your podcast is more conversational, this can be slightly more relaxed, a little more like this, but remember, if an audience can't hear what you're saying, they've got no reason to stick around. It's also quite easy when being conversational to slip into a monotone pattern of speech, so watch out and keep your engagement levels high. Whatever your style is, keep an eye on your levels. It's always easier to make something that's too quiet get louder, but if your levels go through the top of the channel or waveform, it's very difficult to heal the sound again. To actually record yourself talking for the podcast, it's always better to use a dedicated microphone, like the one in the Jukebox Studio that I'm using at the moment. Just remember to check that the studio is available beforehand. That's not the only option, though. You could use a laptop mic, like I've just switched to right now. It doesn't sound as good just yet, but you can edit the sound to be cleaner and more professional. You'll have to do a little editing anyway, so don't worry about creating work for yourself. We can do this through Audacity or through Adobe Audition, whichever you're more comfortable with. But we'll talk about editing a little later. Now, I'm sure that my voice is thrilling to listen to, but anything can become a little dull if you never have any variation, so consider using sound effects and backing tracks to change things up and keep a listener engaged. Nice. Although, sadly, as much as I love sax solos, there are a couple of problems here. Firstly, this song has vocals in it, and if you're playing a track with vocals in the background while you're talking in the foreground, they're going to end up blending together and confusing your audience. Secondly, and more importantly, if you ever want to publish a podcast, or if you want Dukebox to publish your podcast, you can't use music that's in copyright. Sorry, George. This also applies to any sound effects that you find online. You could, however, record your own original music and sound effects, or go online to find some that is licensed under Creative Commons. A good resource for sound effects is freesound.org, and I get my background music from mixkit.co. But there are others that you can find. Just remember that Creative Commons has its own levels of strictness. Creative Commons 0 is entirely free use, whereas higher levels of attribution might still need you to say at some point during the podcast where the music came from. Copyright is a big, complicated beast, and it does contain provisions for fair use, which covers educational use. However, because of the complexity of the legal situation, it's best to simply avoid the issue. Of course, with audio coming in from lots of different sources now, they'll need to have their volumes adjusted in editing to sound cohesive. So let's look a little more closely at that. We're moving to a new section here, so this is the perfect time to use a sound effect to mark the transition. The first thing we'll need to do is normalise our speech. This is where we take the loudest point of a clip and set it at a certain volume, and the rest of the clip has the same process applied to it. On Audacity, this is quite simple. just select the audio you want to normalize. This is almost always all of your spoken audio anyway. Click on the Effects tab at the top and find Normalize. The first two options should already be checked. Leave them like that. The Peak Amplitude option offers you minus 1.0 dB as a starting point, but I'd set it at minus 2 or minus 3 so you can see more clearly whether a clip has been normalized compared to whether it's too quiet or too loud. Whatever you choose, remember that value so you can set everything else to the same value. On Adobe Audition, you can use the Favorites tab, which has a preset normalized to minus 3 dB option. But don't forget that you have to be in the waveform part of Audition on the top left, not the multitrack area. You can also use a limiter to create a fuller sound. This is where you make the main body of the sound louder while stopping the peaks from going through the top of your waveform or channel. This will stop any loud clicks or pops from standing out, which can be a problem with normalization. Ideally, you want to push your input boost until the waveform doesn't quite make a flat line along the top, which can cause clipping and other problems, while keeping your maximum amplitude at whatever value you used for your normalization. On Audacity, it's in the Effects tab. Then look towards the bottom where it's labelled Limiter, and then set the type to Hard Limiter, where you'll set both the left and right channels for your input boost, and your limit too for the maximum amplitude. On Adobe Audition, go to Effects, then Amplitude and Compression, then Hard Limiter. So, should we normalize and limit our audio levels on sound effects and backing tracks as well? Well, yes, but we also need to balance them properly. If your sources aren't balanced, then it can be quite difficult and tiring to listen to your podcast. Here, have a listen to our clip over Careless Whisper from earlier, but with the levels left as they were when I imported the files into my project. As much as I love sax solos, there are a couple of problems here. Firstly, this song has vocals in it, and if you're playing a track with vocals in the background while you're talking in the foreground, as you can hear, it's not great. Whenever you add a sound source, listen back to it to make sure it sounds in keeping with the rest of the podcast. I've switched back to my laptop mic now because it's the easiest way to show you noise reduction. First, find a small portion, half a second will do, of the recording that only has background noise. I'll leave a gap here to create that noise. Next, on Audacity, we'll go to Effects, then Noise Reduction, then Get Noise Profile. Then we'll go to Effects and Noise Reduction again, and use the sliders and preview until you've made the sound more appealing. On Adobe Audition, it's under Effects, then Noise Reduction / Restoration, then Capture Noise Print, and to apply the noise print, it's Effects, Noise Reduction / Restoration, then Noise Reduction Process, where you can do the same thing. Sounds a lot better, right? Being able to edit a laptop mic like this means you can weigh up the convenience of recording on the fly against the immediate sound you'll get in the studio and decide on whatever suits you best. By the way, did you notice how awkward that pause felt earlier? It was quite obvious that we hadn't reached a natural break or transition, so the result was a rather clunky halt. The last thing I want to talk about, now that we've got all our parts sounding individually how we want them, is how to create flow through editing. A lot of the time it can be quite easy to spot when something doesn't flow properly. Like in our example above, there was a gut feeling of discomfort. If you think something doesn't feel right, then it probably isn't right. What can be more difficult is working out why. More often than not, this is a timing issue, so try making a pause slightly longer or shorter and see how it feels. If you're using sound effects or backing tracks, try adjusting the volume of them. You don't need to rush the editing process, as it will only make you overlook something that actually could have been changed. If nothing else works, Adobe Audition has a time stretching function, but this works best on scripted material and not so well on areas with multiple people talking. If flow still seems like an abstract concept, then perhaps this example will help. I'm going to record the same script twice, changing only the tone of my voice, the timing of my words, and the background music. Listen to how drastically it changes the picture my words are painting. The capybara lies in the undergrowth, its form almost entirely concealed by the fauna. Its head twitches as it peers out towards the river, perhaps wondering what it will find on the journey to the watering hole. The capybara lies in the undergrowth, its form almost entirely concealed by the fauna. Its head twitches as it peers out towards the river, perhaps wondering what it will find on the journey to the watering hole. This is the power of editing, and why it's always worth considering whether you could do any. Sometimes there will be pauses while you're talking. It's more common when you aren't using a script as you think of what to say next, but it can happen with one as well. Whether you edit them out or how aggressively you pursue them depends on the tone of your podcast. Removing pauses might make it sound more polished and professional, but for topics of importance and gravity, the pauses can be just as important for giving your listeners time to digest what you're saying and think about it for themselves. So be mindful and use your judgment when you're thinking about this. While this is a broad base of things that can, and hopefully will, help with your podcasts, you might have things you want to try as well. You're more than welcome to email me and ask for any advice you might want, but an equally valid option is just to try it yourself and see what happens. Just remember what you've done, or save your project to a backup copy for if things go wrong. Remember, things going wrong isn't necessarily bad, as it can guide you towards the right thing to do, or even give you a fresh inspiration that you might not have otherwise considered. And that's about it from me. I hope you've enjoyed this little glimpse into the things you can do to improve your podcast. If you have any questions, feel free to email me, and I hope you enjoy creating content.